So yeah, I'm the mom, but I will say this, I am no saint, and it's really, really important to me, and I know to some of you, that I acknowledge that. So this story started a long time ago, but in a lot of ways it starts in January of 2016, when my beautiful child, who I believed at the time was a boy, sat up in the tub after showing me beautiful mermaid hair and said, "But Mom, I have a really, really important question. I have to figure out if I'm a boy or a girl." And I remember the seizing of my heart in that moment. And the fear, of course, was about what do I say? How do I say the right thing? And I muddled through it. I muddled through because there had been some signs. And so I must have been thinking about this in my back of my head. And my husband and I had talked about it a little bit. But I didn't think that this was a question I would get from my 7-year-old. So I muddled through some version of you are whoever you say you are. You are who you are in your heart and in your head. It's not what's your body that matters. And it was that night that Eli announced that she was a girl. And after telling me, I was like, holy shit, I'm going through this alone in the bathroom with my daughter. I better call my husband. I'm like, so do you want to think you want to tell daddy? Let's call daddy upstairs. So Terry came up, and for those of you who have not met my husband, you will, you've met Eli, and so you will not be surprised to hear that he was like, "That's great, sweetie. We love you, and whoever you are is great with us." So I remember that moment. I remember the buoyancy that came over her, dancing naked around the bathroom. I must be the first girl with the penis. Sorry, I just blew that one. And we're like, no, that job's been taken. You're not the first girl with a penis. There are other girls like you in the world. And that conversation right there should have been an important clue to something that we were going to need, because we had this moment of buoyancy, and then the next day she went out the front door and tried to tell the neighbors that we barely knew that she was a girl, and I panicked and shut her up, and she deflated. So this is not a story about being a perfect parent, right? This is a story about being a parent in a moment in time where I am lucky. I am lucky to have so many resources and so much information and so many role models that it took us time and energy to even find. And the next period wasn't a period of buoyancy. It was a period of a train screeching to a halt and confusion and mixed messages. Mixed messages from the waiter in the restaurant who doesn't know whether to call this my son or my daughter. Mixed messages from the kids at school who are like, "Why are you wearing barrettes?" "Because I'm a girl." "No, you're not." It was just a really tough couple of months. And if you've never seen a depressed first grader, I can now tell you what that looks like. It's not pretty. She said to me one day, kind of in her confusion and her frustration, in her 7-year-old voice, "Where are the other kids like me? I don't want to be the only one in the same boat." And so when I realized that I needed to find the other people in her boat, that's when we found our saving grace, right? That is when we found the GSA at our school. And those middle schoolers were amazing. They took my little daughter under their wings, and they made her feel popular and accepted and important. And that was everything. And we went to Gender Conference East, and seeing families like ours and other kids like her and watching her lazily backstroke in the pool and say, "Yeah, when I became a girl, I decided to keep my name." That was amazing. And finding Facebook groups full of parents of gender nonconforming kids, that was amazing. And coming out to all of our friends and family and people near and far and getting these really touching phone calls and emails and texts from gay and lesbian friends and family saying, "Welcome to the club, welcome to the family, we've got your back." That was amazing. So we had a life raft, right? For a while we'd been drifting and we had a life raft and it felt better. And I didn't get any of that by being a martyr or by being perfect. I got it by finding community, by finding the people who'd been doing this work and living these lives and these truths for a long time to help us. And that community has been the most important thing. And the support of our cisgender friends and our straight friends. You know, she went to her school and this could have been bad. It's a big urban public school with 1,400 kids and 2,000 parents and God knows what they all think and believe and talk about at home. But we talked. We told stories. We read books. We taught lessons. And the day that she told her whole class, finally, in the middle of second grade, that she was a girl and put her hair into a ponytail and took a picture with her classmates and signs that said, be who you are, I saw that buoyancy come back. So here's where we are now on our journey. You know, I feel safe in this life raft. I feel happy. Having a 9-year-old, almost 10-year-old trans kid isn't hard. But the world is encroaching, right? And I'm realizing we need more. Like, we need bridges. You know, we need bridges. We need other people to support us. And when the news came out about, you know, Trump's memo and this proposed changes to the language of how we define sex, I panicked, like everyone else who, you know, who is in this room or knows someone else who's trans or gender nonconforming, panicked. And tried to set myself a little task list, right? And part of that task list is like, I need to talk to 200 cisgender people. Like, this cannot be me and the other parents of trans and gender non-conforming kids fighting for the lives of our kids. We need everyone else we know who's been quietly and lovingly accepting us to stand up and fight. And so I'm sending emails. I'm lining up my allies. I've got a spreadsheet. You want to be on it? Let me know.